From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palmer, Neil McCready. We are both back in the Clark Ford studio this morning to bring you this here show. So, talk to Jeffrey. We'll do our normal Thursday routine today. A couple things else to hit on during this morning's broadcast. So, appreciate you coming in with us. The podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. A couple events coming up. I want to tell you about the presenting sponsor of Hometown Sessions, a concert with Jamie Lynn Spears. That is February 3rd in Macomb, Mississippi. You can get tickets through eventbrite.com for that. And then February 24th is the FCA breakfast on campus at Ole Miss. Evan Ingram is the special guest of that breakfast. Credit Oil and Blue Sky have been presenting sponsors for several years for that. Do a great job helping them put on really good events. So February 24th, you can get your tickets to see Evan Ingram and have a nice day there on the Ole Miss campus. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great new Ford vehicle, great service after the sale, and no hassle. So it's up to you. You get your quote. You can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's make your car buying experience easy. 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcasts. This one, the Soft Verbal presented by Billy's Pecans, which was posted yesterday. The Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which will be up tomorrow. Any of those, $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory.
So, I want to do a couple things. We'll get to Jeffrey here in a little while. We'll talk a good bit of basketball, football, fan moments, and the like. And this isn't up for vote yet. I think you commented on this. I saw it. There's been a lot of strong reactions. So, just to kind of set this up, that it's as players seek, obviously, some compensation for their time, considering the money put into the business that is college sports, specifically college football. My mic is doing it again. I don't know what the deal is.
I think you're okay.
Well, I'm looking at the levels.
Oh.
I can tell.
Okay.
We don't have headphones in.
My That's
mic
true.
Just seems to go off every once in a while right now, and it kind of comes back, but I think we might need to buy new headphones. Or, sorry, new
mics. New mics, yeah. Probably that time.
Anyway, this came really into the Twitter sphere, if you will, yesterday from Matt Stick, an ESPN writer. Says, quote, I spoke with an NCAA official this week who is, quote, 95% certain transfers will be allowed to play immediately in basketball and football. Could be a one-time freebie plus a grad transfer option. So, in theory, a student athlete could play for three different schools. He also spoke to a head coach of a mid-major basketball program who says it will lead to greater roster instability from year to year. Top players and end-of-bench players will be more willing to look elsewhere before graduating. And then also says that it would probably have some type of academic requirement hooked to it as well, not just a free-for-all. A thing that has to be looked at from a lot of different avenues. I do think this will pass at some point. And it will be interesting, at least from my opinion, to see what limits they put on it from a timeline standpoint, because it can't be a year-round deal. There has to be a certain time period when this is a potential thing to do. And maybe it's the month of April for basketball. Maybe it's January for football. I don't know what those rules are. But anything else, and it would be complete and utter open season.
It will. I've gotten a lot of people got mad at me about what I tweeted. I'm just being consistent. Until players are compensated, and when I say compensated, I mean with money. Because when people do the scholarship thing, we got to get into a completely different nuanced deal. Because right now, for a lot of kids, college athletics are a farm system. And so I'm pro athlete, pro student, until that is resolved. And that's not to be a jerk. It's just because, I'll use my example, I don't hunt. Nothing against hunting, but I've never hunted. I'm 48. I'm never going to hunt. I'm never going to be the guy that goes out duck hunting or deer hunting. And again, I'm not against it. I'm glad people do it. It's not for me. So if you offer me as compensation the nicest hunting rifle, deer stand, cabin, the whole shooting match, that's my compensation. It's worthless to me. You tell me I can't sell it. It's mine and it's awesome. But I can't transfer it to anyone for compensation. You offered me a worthless piece of compensation.
Well, now, comparing that to education is a little broad. But
it is broad, and I realize that it is, but it's broad intentionally because for some kids, and this is, I'm not trying to be a jerk. For some kids, an education's not meaningful. They don't want it. They had no intention to use it. And quite frankly, at a lot of schools, the majors and stuff that they're in are utterly worthless. When you get a degree in general studies from Ball State, you're not heading out into the workforce going, hey, look at me. I got a degree in general studies. Nothing against the fine people in Muncie, by the way. I'm just keeping it real. There are some kids that an education is more valuable than an education is to other kids. That's reality. And so if they're at school because they're there for athletics and they go someplace and athletics aren't working out, I don't understand why they can't be allowed to leave.
I'm just saying put a timeline on when they can do it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
365 days a year makes no sense.
No, now the recruiting will happen 365.
It will, but at least there is a break. I mean, it's kind of like a kid can't, yeah, he's going to be recruited all year, but he can't sign July 1st. And now maybe right. He should, whole different deal, but you know
sure.
What I mean. I mean,
sure.
There is at least a day we're looking towards to, and when it's over, there's a,
sure.
From a standpoint of just logistically putting your team together.
Sure.
That's always been my argument is when you do this, you're putting you're putting roster management in a hell of a bind.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I think it's hypocritical. Herb Hand left Auburn the other day, right after signing day, for Texas. Just left. There's no penalty.
Well, hell, Bradley Del Pivito on campus.
Yeah, he was on campus. Hell, he was in Oxford.
Yeah.
Left for Texas A&M. He's out recruiting kids for Ole Miss one day and going to Texas A&M the next.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a problem with that, cool. I don't have a problem with it. It's free enterprise.
Yeah.
But why should the kids that are being recruited by these people live under a completely different set of rules?
Yeah, and I want to make this clear. I believe that players should be compensated financially. I, however, still have a hard time understanding how they are going to be compensated to in a degree that changes our argument from a fundamental standpoint.
I don't know.
Of the problems the players are still going to have are still going to be there if we throw $80 more in their pocket.
Sure.
So that's the only problem, too, is that you've got this one level of player that we talk about, and when you make the example out of, but we're really talking about 1.5% of the college football players on the planet when we do most of this.
And that's why I think the kid that's the third string tight end at Tennessee that goes, this isn't working for me. I want to transfer to Indiana State and get on the field. Why does that kid, or to Indiana, why does that kid have to sit out a year? Or the kid who blooms at Ball State and goes, I can go to Alabama. Alabama's a better path for me to the NFL. They want me. Why can't he go? I struggle with it. I really do. We're going to mess up college football. Well, college football will have to figure out how to make it work. But the kids that are in the system, I think sometimes they're kind of forgotten, honestly.
I mean, you can't make a rule just for backups, obviously. But
well, no, but if the star running back at Indiana wants to transfer to Tennessee, why should he have to sit out a year? Maybe you have to change. Maybe the answer to this is changing the way the scholarships are done. Make them four-year guaranteed deals or the first 2 years.
And they can be.
Yeah.
It'll have to be, but they can be.
So maybe that's the answer. You make it a guaranteed scholarship. But when the people go, well, it's a four-year deal, not all of them. Most of them are 1 year by year. All those kids that, quote, get processed. Yeah, it's, you're processing them because it's a one-year scholarship.
Yeah. I don't have a huge problem.
And I'm not a major advocate for this, but I am going to be consistent and say that given the current structure, I am pro-player having the right, pro-student having the right to transfer.
I'm a little more inclined to give automatic, no really restrictions for baseball and sports that don't have full scholarships.
Sure.
Versus a little more legislation on the full scholarship sports, men's basketball and football. Just on how you do it and how you protect the coach trying to put the roster together.
Now, I am totally in favor of a one-time only.
Yeah, it don't need to be every freaking year.
A kid transferring, playing one year here. That's ridiculous. But a kid that goes to school at Missouri for a year and a half, realizing, and he's used up 2 years of his eligibility, realizing this is not the place for me. Or I need to go home. I want to go home. Instead of having to appeal for some hardship thing, just transfer and go play. I don't have a problem with that. The kid that's from Florida who ends up at Missouri and a year and a half later, he just doesn't want to be there anymore. Because the odds are in that scenario, something's happened on the other end, too, to make it where he doesn't want to stay. Because as we saw with the Ole Miss thing, these kids were basically given carte blanche to leave. Van Jefferson's going to play at Florida next year. Shea Patterson's going to play at Michigan next year.
Think Van is?
Yeah, he already got the waiver.
Did he already get it?
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
100%?
I'm not 100%, but that's what I've read on numerous Florida sites.
It was numerous sites. I only saw the one that actually wasn't affiliated with anybody, so I'm asking.
I saw it multiple.
Okay, go ahead.
I do think they're all going to get their waiver granted. I mean, my point is most of the kids at Ole Miss stayed. Transferring is a pain in the ass. We've talked about this all the time. Kids are – they put some roots in, they've got a place, they've got a roommate, they've got a girlfriend, they got a class schedule, blah, blah, blah. They're comfortable. Most kids don't transfer. What's the transfer rate? It's small. It'll stay small.
Baseball used to have a one-time, no-sit-out transfer rule, and they took it away 2008, 2009, something like that. Andrew Clark was the last one to benefit from Ole Miss. He was at Ole Miss as a freshman, the All-American from Indiana, and he ended up transferring to Louisville to play for Dan in 2008.
Yeah.
So that might have been the last year of it, 8, 9, something like that. Then they took it away. Which for a non-full scholarship sport is stupid. Because
sure.
It's stupid, but then that also puts even more pressure on coaches. You've got Mike Bianco is having to judge an 11.7, and at the end of every single year, he could automatically lose a player to go play for his rival. That's a tough deal. Not saying feel sorry for him, but just mechanically, it's very complicated.
It is. I don't think there's a perfect answer. I mean, I really don't. I don't think there's a perfect answer. But the people who are hyperbolic going, this will be the end of college football, stop.
You'll have 3 to 5 really, really, really high-profile cases a year.
Yeah. And yes, the Blue Bloods will get richer. They're already richer. I mean, I hate to break it there, buddy, but the same damn teams are playing for championships every year. The whole parity argument, parity at the absolute top, there's not much.
No, it's a middle parity.
Yeah, and that will continue to exist.
There's a huge pool in the middle.
Yes, and that will continue to exist.
How does it affect basketball? Because I don't know enough about the roster management there.
It will just make the transfer market bigger than it is.
Okay.
It's already huge. Mm-hmm. But the elite basketball player that truly impacts a team, he's already leaving for the NBA. I mean, what it might mean is the kid at Kentucky who's the eighth man who realizes I'm not going to play here. Well, now he can transfer to Michigan State and play. Does that affect the balance of power? Maybe a little, but doesn't really – it's not changing the world we live in.
It's giving some dude, some team a new piece is always –
it's giving a kid a chance.
Yeah.
As opposed to, hey, you can be the eighth man at Kentucky – or you can go to – Michigan State's not a great example. You can go to Illinois and be the starting small forward. He wasn't good enough to play for you at Kentucky. He's probably not taking Illinois to the national title. So it's leading – it's giving the kid an opportunity to play. Isn't that what we should be for?
Speaking of basketball, last night, Florida beats Arkansas. The Rebels' next opponent is the Razorbacks in Fayetteville on Saturday. So Arkansas loses that one. I think they've lost 4 out of 5 now.
I think that's right. Maybe even 5 out of 6.
Yeah, something along those lines. And then elsewhere last night, Alabama beats Auburn, and Missouri knocks off Tennessee last night, that actually ranked Vols.
Alabama wins without Colin Sexton last night.
Yeah.
And without the Hall kid.
Alabama incredibly schizophrenic, but when they're good, they're good.
They are, and they're really good at home.
Welcome to college basketball.
Welcome, yeah. 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 There you go. Missouri wins at home.
Yeah.
Tennessee complained about the officiating.
They did. Rick Barnes made a Kansas jab, too. Thanks, Rick.
Which was popular in Missouri, so the people in Missouri couldn't decide whether they loved or hated Rick Barnes last night. A little bit of both.
Well, it was funny, and it's probably true. At the same time, Rick got his tail kicked by them in Austin, too, though. That's the problem with that. When you don't win the home games against them either, Rick, then you just kind of get beat by them. Just telling you. But it was good for a one-liner. Rick didn't have to worry about Kansas anymore, so what the heck.
The league has no crap in it.
The closest thing to crap is Vanderbilt. And they're still – there's a pulse. They're not good by any stretch of imagination.
They're not good. They are quickly becoming – from an RPI and KenPom.
They were 105 when we looked at it the other day.
They're quickly becoming a bad loss if you get it.
Yeah, you don't want to have – Ole Miss plays them the last game of the season at home.
Well, and if we're still talking stuff, that's going to be an interesting day one way or the other.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. A leader in condo financing. So ask about the flow down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE, JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, he challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Mississippi or Tennessee, give Romero Miller State Farm a call. 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or AVVO.com. Gambrell and Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jeffrey, good morning on this Thursday. As always, as you can tell, we are finally back in the studio, even though schools are out one more day. See, Neil, right there? My mic just goes completely kind of dead for a second.
I don't know what to tell you.
Did you notice
it? You sound great over here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
In our headsets, it went down, didn't it, Neil?
Yeah.
And then now it's back.
You sound lovely here. Never been better.
I don't know. I mean, you leave, Jeffrey, and it all goes to hell after a few months. So, you know, it is what it is. But I guess it's been a little while now. They've been over a year. But anyway, I don't know why I'm going to revisit this, but I kind of am because you and I have not spoken other than kind of some text messages throughout the week. What's your worst sports fan moment of your life?
Ooh. 2003 LSU's got to be up there.
Okay.
I believe that's the last time as a human being I cried. let's see. The Golden State 2015 Western Conference semifinals when the Warriors basically implemented the let him shoot strategy on Tony Allen.
Yeah,
and it was over. The Grizzlies were up 2-1, heading home. So had they been able to win that, they had a chance.
That was not the year that we went to the game and they just got ran out of the building, is it?
That was the game, but that they got run out of the building because of the Tony Allen.
Oh, that was the same game. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so they basically just said, and Allen couldn't score.
Yeah,
they invited Tony Allen to shoot, and he did.
Yeah,
yes, they invited Tony Allen to shoot. He did, and therefore. That was the game after Mike Conley played with a busted face, and they won in Golden State.
It was very similar kind of to the Saints-Minnesota game, had the Saints never found a pulse, and it just stayed the same way the whole time. Because, I mean, seriously, it was a deal where at no point at any time did the Grizzlies even think about competing in that game.
Yeah. Well, they tried at first, and then when you're just going 4-on-5 on offense against one of the best, and then you're on the other end was one of the best offenses we've ever seen. Like, yeah, it was, that was not a great setup. 2013 World Series sucked against Boston.
You know, the same though, I think you experienced the good side of maybe the worst, at least mentally, one of the worst beats ever for a sports fan, and that's the Rangers being the one strike away.
Oh, yeah. Well, one strike away multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, that might be – I mean, I was trying to really feel sorry for myself when Neil and I were discussing this on Monday, I guess, and I thought, you know, I don't know, and it's not talked about a ton. It doesn't really stay in the vernacular of, you know, big moments, worst beats type of things, but I don't know that anything is worse than that Texas World Series.
It's worse than the Buckner thing.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, yeah, it's like – because the Buckner game was tied. Like I don't know. Like, that. It's way worse than that. The other one, it doesn't show up, and I get it. It's not the stakes aren't that high, but you want to just talk about like pure like rage and upset. The 2012 Ryder Cup, when we blew that lead, that's about as angry as I've ever been because like that affected my patriotism. Like I legitimately thought about renouncing citizenship, or I wanted two things. I wanted number one, I wanted that cop that. Still drunk Rory that gave him a police escort to actually make his tea time. I want him tried for treason. And then I wanted the rest of our team's citizenship to at least be reviewed.
You know, you have finally gotten over the breakup of Rory and Wise because you were not aware of what was going on with her during the first round of the Australian Open the other day. And in years past, you would have been the number one connoisseur of all things Wozniacki.
Oh no, I murdered her when I did the picture. I did the split picture on Twitter of her ring, and then I did the split picture of Erica Stoll's ring.
Oh, to get Erica a bigger ring? I didn't see this.
It's the exact same ring. She.
Really?
So she wanted the exact same ring that Erica got. Like, it's over.
Oh,
like,
my
she's
God.
Literally, she's engaged to another person, and she still can't get over it.
Yeah, she's engaged to David Lee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats, Dana.
The basketball player?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she dated Ryan Kerrigan for a little while, the Redskins linebacker.
The former basketball player, Neil. Yeah.
The former basketball player who's once still employed as a basketball player.
Right, yeah. Once upon a time. Yeah, no. Look up their rings. Literally, they're the exact same ring.
Oh, God.
It was great.
Okay.
No, I mean, I saw her whining the other night, and I was rooting for the chair umpire.
Yeah, she was down 5-1, came back and won. It was kind of...
Congratulations, first round. You're the number two player in the world.
Well, I mean, look around. The Australian Open has already been a disaster from an upset standpoint. Everybody's gone.
Yeah, USA.
Yeah, I think that, Neil, I think there's two Americans left, and we're like 2 days in. It's like Ryan Harrison and some other dude.
Do Americans still play tennis?
Allegedly.
Well, you know, Isner kind of hung around. Sam Querrey actually had a pretty good resurgence lately. He lost.
He got beat last night, right?
Yeah, Jack Sock got beat.
One thing you do have to respect about American tennis players, they do follow the American dream. They're not really concerned with winning. They're just concerned with making money. They all have, like, really profitable careers. They don't win anything, but they're all, like, extremely efficient when it comes to making money.
They're Matt Kuchar.
Yes. Well, they're Ian Poulter, but American.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's that. They're Charles Howell is who they are.
Chucky Three Sticks.
Yeah,
they're a legitimate legend. Yeah. All right, here's the thing that I'm upset about, Chase.
Okay, go ahead.
Why is no one pointing out that out of a timeout, the Saints ran just straight up cover two, which was about the dumbest defense you could possibly run because all they legitimately covered, they had the flats covered. And they had the underneath throws over the middle covered. Like, that is the dumbest defense I've ever seen in my entire life.
And you want them to go underneath over the middle. You're willing to give them 30 yards down the middle of the freaking field.
And hell, if they want to throw it 5 and out, 8 and out, 10 and out, let them get the first down. They've only got 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'll be happy to give you a 10-yard out route. Go for it.
On top of that, it was out of a timeout.
The more I've thought about it, read about it, listened to podcasts about it, the more I'm infuriated from the following standpoint. I don't even pretend to be a football expert. Not even a little. But I played defensive back and would have known in that scenario the last thing we're doing is running what they ran. Literally, that would be the last coverage on the coverage sheet that you would go to. In fact, coaches would be saying, no matter what you do back there, don't check into cover two.
Well, yeah, but did you play?
I mean, I played a little.
Well, did you play?
Well, not at that level, but
Sean Payton. Sean Payton has an illustrious NFL career as a player. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
He was one of the best replacement players in the world.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, if your argument is you didn't play, shut up.
Yeah, then, there's like, no doubt.
The better argument. Like, actually make a point. That is an ad hominem attack. That is not a logical argument. If you were in a logics class and you made that argument, you would immediately be failed because it has no logic and has nothing to do with the point.
You play four deep. You play four deep.
And stretch your backers out towards the flat to turn everything inside because literally there's 10 seconds left and they have no timeouts.
I want them to
tackle the game's over.
I want the middle of the field open for them.
Yes, you're inviting them to throw it to the middle of the field. Go make the tackle. Game is over.
Because what I want them to do is to be forced to run one of those goofy-ass lateral plays.
Yes,
that work one out of every 1,000 times they're run. That's what I want you to do. I want you to run that dumbass play that ends with the offensive guard trying to recover a fumble. That's what I want you to do.
My favorite part of the play, too, is I've gone back and punished myself by watching it multiple times, is when I was initially watching it, I thought, well, I really had no thoughts in my head other than please fall down. But not only did Williams not make the play and screw it up, he also tackled Lattimore to knock him out of making the play.
Well, and then on top of that,
if it makes you feel better, Lattimore wasn't going to catch Diggs right there.
He was stumbling.
He was still stumbling. He was stumbling. That is true.
Well, so, on top of that, when Diggs turned around, he almost scared himself because he was thinking, "Get out!" You can see in his mind, "Get out of bounds! Get out of bounds! Get out of bounds! Get out of bounds!" He turns and he doesn't see anyone. He's like, "Shit! I'll score."
Yeah, I know.
And by the way, this is as much pain for Chase, maybe not quite as much, but it's right there with me. All right, I'm right there with him because I had the money line.
Yeah, that's what Dylan texts me, and he's like, this hurts for me too. And I'm like, shut up.
We got the money line. The money line is the single best, like, you never feel smarter as a human being than when you take an underdog money line and then you just tell the whole world.
I'm glad you had the money line and not the stupid 5.5, though, because then you would be bragging to me about the 5.5 the entire time, all week.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, that was my hedge, was the at half. I took the points.
Okay.
But at that point, it was like, hell, how about this, though, Chase? I had another degenerate buddy. He took the Saints plus 550 at half to win.
Oh, wow.
Think how he's feeling right now.
That's good. Yeah, I told Neil, I'm not watching any more football this year. I'm done. No Super Bowl, no conference championships, nothing.
Hold on, that's a bold statement.
It's over.
Yeah, oh boy, you're telling me you're not going to DVR, Case Keenum and Nick Foles for a chance to play for the Super Bowl?
How come something's not being played up more? And maybe it's because I have a more of a distaste for trash talk than most people. Sean Payton absolutely tempted the football gods, got burned, and no one outside of, God bless him, the Minneapolis Star Tribune is commenting on it.
I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, imagine if Belichick does that. He would never do it, but imagine, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he would never do that. He would never do that. Well, and Payton did it twice this year.
They say only New Orleans and Atlanta really even cared about the choke thing.
It didn't even make news.
No.
But he woke up the Falcons that day, cost his team a game.
The truth is, if I don't follow Stephen Godfrey, I don't know about a couple of the things that he's done this year.
Yeah.
The skull thing with 10 seconds, I mean, with 25 seconds left is just, you are just, maybe it's just me. I would never in a million years do that because I would think this is going to come back to haunt me.
It's the ultimate example of, I don't know if there's sports karma. I mean, I guess statistically speaking, there's probably not.
No.
But I'm not really in a position where I want to tempt fate and find out.
Yeah, it's dumb in that regard. Now, did it have any bearing on anything? No. But I took a break in this interview with Jeffrey to tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs. You can contact them at 662-252-2321. They'll deliver the medicine to you, whatever you need, with great local service and care. Also, they've got the Sildenafil we've been telling you about. You can fill out the form directly online there at Tyson Drugs. Fill the form out. Let the pharmacy know the doctor's name. They'll get the prescription ready. And also, for women, they have something for you, too. So, again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, it's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. All the 2018s are there. Great lease deals as well. Check out their site, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at RebelGrove.com. You'll be glad you did. They'll take great care of you. Again, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to our interview with Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
I think in some ways, Payton. Like, go ahead.
Like, what the hell was Pittsburgh doing? What the hell was Pittsburgh doing talking about the Patriots a week before you're playing the Jaguars?
Exactly.
Like, Mike Mitchell would be cut.
You know both teams and all their fans are all praying to God before the game. Why would you do anything that might impact God's neutrality? Just leave it alone.
It's unthinkable. Like, you're taught that in high school. Like, if you want to talk some trash during the game, by all means, like, go ahead. But it's like, don't do anything that could put your team in a bad spot.
I'm in a NOLA.com bubble, Jeffrey. Are the Saints one of the two most hated teams in the NFL?
I think it's a weird deal because everyone loves Drew Brees, and we're in this weird spot where your quarterback, even more, like more so than the head coach, I think the quarterback is the face of every franchise, and because he's so likable, I think the Saints get the ultimate free pass.
So if the quarterback was like Cam,
oh God, you'd be so hated.
Oh my God.
Oh, you'd be so hated.
Oh my God.
Jeffrey's right. Breeze saves Peyton a lot of hatred.
I just had a legitimate orgasm thinking about that. That was awesome.
Yeah, because like the fans are obnoxious, I'll admit it. The dome's obnoxious, Peyton's obnoxious, they're good. Like it fits every category except you have the choir boy quarterback.
Yeah, and he's perfect. So that it completely negates all the other stuff.
Oh yeah. No, there's no doubt. I just think that's what it comes down to. It's like when you have a franchise, like in the NFL, the quarterback is the face, and so it's the same thing. Like the Seahawks are kind of the weird example where even though Russell Wilson is like a Drew Brees and when it comes to being like a legitimately good human being, but because they put so much emphasis on the Legion of Boom being the face of their franchise as well as crowd noise, like they become insufferable. I think if they would just focus on Russell Wilson being the face of the franchise, I think they'd get more free passes.
Are people going to start caring about the Rams now from a standpoint of that?
I think it'll be like, just think about like with the Lakers, like it's never like the example of where like everyone like is really all in, because in LA there's other things to, it's like the Heat where with LeBron, like you're going to have the ultimate fair weather fans. Like, I mean, I guess you can relate as a Saints fan, like when those people show up, like, it'll be that, but LA is the most fair weather town I've ever been in.
I need to go in a couple minutes. I'm just kind of curious. You watch more college basketball than maybe anyone I know, not named like Chris Dorch or someone. Because you kind of scolded me the other night as I was watching tennis and there was college basketball on.
You know it's being sarcastic, right?
I know. Yeah. I get it.
I was like, this is – even I know like this is bad basketball.
So bad.
If you had to pick right now – I mean, and I'm not talking about, upsets and stuff. Just four best teams. Who's the final four if it went scratch?
It went scratch. So you got Villanova – Duke, and that's kind of the deal. Like I saw last night, I don't remember if it was like Wolken or somebody. Somebody's like, "I'll give you Villanova and Duke or the field. Who are you taking?" And most people like responding were taking Duke or Duke and Villanova in the field.
There's that much of a chasm.
West Virginia's good.
West Virginia's good, but do you ever like? That's the whole deal. It's like you listen to Huggy Bear on like when Huggy Bear's on the record, he's like, yeah, the reason I press the whole game and do all this is because I don't have as good of players as everyone else. Like it's a device to try and make up for the lack of talent. DeAndre Ayton, I do think, is a stud at Arizona, but they've kind of had some like weird losses, and then I'm like half their team's not eligible, half their team is eligible, like depending on the week.
Oklahoma's an interesting team in the tournament because of Trae Young. He can win a game by himself.
Sure. You look at, I hate to say it, Neil, but is our boy Chris Beard, does he have one of, I know they're like in the top 10, but Texas Tech's got, like, according to KenPom, they're really good.
They're, the times I've seen them in segments, they're impressive to watch. He's a good coach. He's got talent, but they're not as talented as a Duke or a Nova or something.
What's the, like, go ahead.
So like, here are the other teams that like, that are ranked high and have great, good resumes, but I don't believe in. And it could easily bite me in the butt. But, like, I don't believe in Purdue. I just feel like Purdue has, like, the choke gene.
Didn't they lose to Tennessee on a neutral floor?
They did. It was, like, in the Bahamas. Like, okay. I want to say they lost to him, like, when it was a...
It was really early, first couple weeks of the year.
But did you see Lunardi's latest projection?
No.
He's got 8 SEC teams in the field.
Yeah. But, like, probably none higher than, like, a 4, right?
I think the highest is a 4.
Yeah.
You know, you got to believe in Michigan State because you just kind of have to. I feel
same
like
same reason
like
a, that you believe in the Patriots.
Are we buying Virginia?
I am not buying Virginia.
Okay. That style of play always does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. It has a ceiling. Now it is a high ceiling, but there's
a very high floor and a very high ceiling.
Is that
the ceiling
reason,
is short of the last weekend.
Is that the same reason that we should never really go heavy on SMU as a Cinderella too?
Well, SMU probably has more talent.
Think so? Okay.
They probably have a better chance of making a magical run.
They got
Virginia
a big win
does.
At Wichita this week.
Yeah.
Are we buying that Kansas is not Kansas this year? Because
yeah, same way as Kentucky's not Kentucky this year.
Yeah, like I don't like I know they've lost like multiple games at home, but now yet again here they are. They find themselves back. They're 50. Like this is what's amazing about Kansas basketball. They're 15-3, and it feels like they're bad.
Yeah, and they're better than Kentucky. It's just that whole thing of if you can get the elite one and dones, you take them, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to work. But that one year that those kids aren't mature enough and stuff, that's going to happen.
Why, oh yeah,
you know Kentucky people. There will be this great debate at the end of this year. You know, is this the wrong method? It's like, no, of course it's not the wrong damn method, but they're kids, and so every once in a while it's not going to work out.
But more importantly, if we're going to talk college basketball, we got to talk the big slate in the West Coast Conference tonight.
Oh, God.
I don't care what the line is. Gonzaga versus St. Mary's, lay them.
Okay.
I don't care what the line is.
You're not a believer in the Gales?
Well, it's just they have a mental block. Like it's like Andy against Mark Few. Always bet on Mark Few.
Okay, fair enough. Last two SEC teams alive in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh.
Mm.
Boy.
Mm.
Ooh.
Is Colin Sexton healthy?
Ooh, yes.
That's such a difficult question because so much of the NCAA tournament is matchups.
Oh, I know. And it's barely, it's not even February yet, but humor me.
Does Porter come back from Missouri or
no.
Is he out?
Out.
Okay.
There's no way he touches the floor.
No,
this year, right?
No, I wouldn't think. They'd be damn good if he did. I'll tell you that.
Could you imagine being his age? I'm sorry, his financial advisor.
his personal assistant.
Yeah, yeah. No, his family associate.
Oh God.
A real God. Quick. I know you got to go. A real quick basketball.
I'll give an answer. I don't. For whatever reason, I don't like them. From when I watched them, but you can't really argue with the outcomes. And Bruce Pearl has a pretty good record in the tournament, so I'll say Auburn.
Ooh.
I'll say Auburn, and then give me the team with the talent. Give me Kentucky, and I say they'll figure it out.
They get Vanderbilt healthy, and you get in as like a 6 seed. The 3 would be scared to death.
Yes.
So that's fair. And they're not losing to an 11 in the first round.
I mean, I'm not saying like it'll work out like, but like the year like where they were the 8 seed and then Wichita State got the 1 and everyone was immediately when that bracket came out, everyone's like, sorry, Wichita State.
Yeah, they're going to get to the Sweet 16 and they're going to play Purdue or somebody and you're going to go, yeah, we're still taking Kentucky here.
Is Arkansas like A&M if they're healthy? What's that?
Is Arkansas good?
No.
They're just okay.
But the SEC, what they've done is there's no bad team and they all, with the exception of Mississippi State, scheduled well. Really well.
By the way, I've never seen a shot like, did Tyree fire it? Who fired it?
Yeah, it was Brian Tyree. That damn like, thing was in like 3 times.
I've never seen that happen. Like, I've seen balls go in and out and then go up. I've never seen a ball go in and out, back in and out again, and then out.
Yeah, that's what you never see. You see a ball go rattle in and then come out, but you never see it kind of rattle in, come out, go back in. Usually, yeah. Once it goes back in, it's through. It's done. But
right.
then go back and then come back out. It's unbelievable. That's got to be just. If I'm Kennedy, I just can't even watch that film. You know what film you can't watch? I can't watch that because if they win that game, they're 4-2, 11-7, and we're starting to have a completely different conversation.
And on top of that. I guess you could say they played better in the second half against Florida, but that was one of their best halves of basketball they played.
Yeah, it was.
They've played better. All right, last question. I know you got to go. You watch a lot of NBA because you have to.
Sadly, right now.
I watched the Lakers last night, and I know Lonzo Ball wasn't there.
Yep.
Kuzma's a good player.
Yep. I got to see them Monday.
This whole... Not just Paul George, but LeBron, all this stuff about all these people going to L.A., it doesn't make much sense from a competitive standpoint why those guys would go cast their lot with that group of Lakers. Because I know Julius Randle's there and all that stuff, but they're nowhere close to being competitive.
Well, 2 points to make your point. Last time LeBron had a legitimate young superstar on his roster. He traded him the minute he got to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right against, like, he doesn't like playing with young rookie guys because they make mistakes. Like, he's just not at that point. I'll do a step further, Neil. I'm not buying that he leaves the East.
I'm not either. But if he does, I think it's to go to San Antonio or to go to Houston. I don't think it's to go to the Lakers. The Lakers are – there's a lot of teams the Lakers have to get past to even think about becoming competitive.
I mean, I guess, like, if there's a will, there's a way. But, I mean, what I'm asking is, can Houston make that work to where it's attractive enough to be like, okay, this is a championship team?
He's probably good enough to overcome Chris Paul, who's the most overrated superstar in the history of superstars.
Amen.
I don't know. LeBron going to San Antonio intrigues the hell out of me more than most anything else. But just the whole Laker thing, I just watched them last night. They're nowhere close. They're not even in the ballpark of close. Not even, I mean, okay, Minnesota, New Orleans. There's so many other teams that are way ahead of them, and those teams aren't close. Because I'm sort of like Jeff Van Gundy last night, who said, "Look, if Golden State's healthy, this thing's over."
Oh, I agree. My bigger contention is I've never seen a person that has power, and a lot of it, that has ended up relinquishing it just to be like, you know what, I'm just going to go, I'm a basketball player, so I'm just going to go play basketball. I've never seen that happen.
No.
And LeBron's not going to have that in San Antonio. I guess it's conceivable in Houston he could have it, but he's not going to have it to the extent that he does. Like, I will just believe LeBron in the West when I see it. I'll especially believe LeBron playing for Greg Popovich when I see it.
Where does he go in the East? Does he go to Charlotte and play for Jordan?
I'm still not convinced that he's leaving.
I'm not either. I think he ought to stay in Cleveland. It's his team.
He does the ultimate move that remember that Calipari used to do, especially when he was at Memphis. Like, when any job comes open, he would legitimately figure out a way to tie his name to it so that everyone else would just be like, "No, LeBron, don't leave. Don't leave, LeBron. Don't leave me."
He still does it at Kentucky with every NBA opening.
I love it.
He's the reason that Calipari floats his own damn name on all these NBA openings.
He's the source.
Jesus.
I love it.
All right, two words. Who's winning this weekend, NFL?
Who cares?
Okay, those are two.
That's two words.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the Patriots. I think the Eagles win.
Please, God.
I think the Eagles win, right?
I don't see it.
The Eagles, okay, here's the deal. No, I believe the Vikings ran the ball, I think, the second most of any team in the NFL. That's not how you beat the Eagles. And then we saw when the Saints did, like, the actual, like, common sense thing, which is put pressure on Case Keenum, he was not that good. And the Eagles get the most pressure of anyone. So it feels like it's a bad matchup for the Vikings.
New Orleans would have beaten Philadelphia so badly Sunday, and we would get 2 weeks of legitimate, for the first time in a long time, 2 weeks of legitimate Super Bowl hype. It was going to be so much fun. We got cheated. We, as sports fans, we got robbed.
Like, on top of losing the bet, that was actually what, like, legitimately angered me on Sunday. Was I was sitting there going, for God freaking sake, Nick Foles or Case Keenum is going to take on Tom Brady. And I know, like, I'm also the guy that's not really ruling out the Jaguars winning, because I have seen in my lifetime Mark Sanchez go into Foxborough and win a game. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've seen it. It happened. And so I'm not completely ruling it out, because also the Jaguars are the type of team that would beat Brady, because they get pressure with four. And they can keep the ball away from them.
And they have a corner who can cut the field in half.
Exactly. Like, they are very good. And the amount of points they gave up to Pittsburgh is misleading. Like, I think, what, they gave up 21 points on fourth down, like, chunks, like, that were just, like, prayers.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of misleading.
Yeah. All right, I know you got a show to do. Talk soon.
Bye, guys.
Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us. The podcast brought to you in part by Mastercuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com for a free quote there. Whether it's just getting everything in order for these temperatures to rise and you need to cut, you know, you can sign an annual contract with MasterCuts. Mention the podcast. First cut will be free. They will build outdoor living areas. Even with the ice that we've had the last week or so, they'll come salt your driveways and roads if we have another instance of that. So keep them in mind and use them for whatever yard issues you have. Again, 662-607-7773.
Hey, Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com. and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the big benefits the big mega banks provide. OUB offers all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Couple different former Ole Miss employee news. We'll start with Hugh Freeze. Alabama has hired Mike Locksley as its offensive coordinator. That was not a surprise. They were likely going to hire within the entire time. Hugh never a candidate for that position. Saban had brought him in last week. We thought to talk to him about an analyst position, similar to what Dan Werner had done in Tuscaloosa. Aaron Suttles, however, yesterday says that well, we know this for a fact. Joe Panunzio taken off the field at Alabama into an off-the-field role from tight ends coach. And quoting here, says that Freeze's spot on a potential Alabama staff is a great question. And that, quote, as of Tuesday morning, so a couple days since this, but whatever, that had not been settled upon yet. Saban is really pushing for Freeze to be an on-the-field coach, the Tuscaloosa News has learned. Others in the program don't want that happening. How much autonomy in this particular situation is unknown, given Freeze's recent history with NCAA. Another aspect of this is, should Alabama decide to hire Freeze as an on-field coach, it would need the blessing of SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and Sankey is not keen on that happening.
If I'm Barry Odom, I'm watching this closely.
Oh, I'm potentially really pissed soon.
Vocally pissed.
Yeah.
Barry Odom wanted to hire Hugh Freeze as his offensive coordinator, and Hugh Freeze wanted to go to Missouri as the offensive coordinator.
And Missouri administration, at minimum, and potentially the SEC, said no.
Look, they're at – and Sankey's going to be able to have plausible deniability here. Because at no point did Greg Sankey pick up the phone and call the people at Missouri and go, hey, uh-uh. But you, if you were ever a kid or you've ever been a parent, you know how this game is played, right? You asked, hey, I want to go over to Billy's for the party. And your mom says, I don't think that's the best idea. That's not no, you can't go to Billy's for the party. But that is if you go to Billy's for the party and get in trouble, I'm going to have your ass. And that also is, I probably ought not go to Billy's for the party. I ought to just let this one go. She'd rather I go hang out with David. I'm going to go to David's house. Really want to go to Billy's, but I'm not going to do it. Not worth the trouble. That's what happened here. Did the SEC say, no, you can't hire Hugh Freeze? No. But they let it be known that we would certainly frown upon it.
Well, and taking your analogy here, even with Alabama, Sankey's going, hey, you can go to Billy's for the afternoon. Let's not spend the night.
Yeah. You want to go over there before the sun goes down? Okay. But I know what happens there at nighttime, and you don't.
Billy's mom's a bit of a drunk. We're going to try to keep this. Yeah.
Right. You want to go be an analyst? You want to hire him as an analyst? Hire him as an analyst. It's also fascinating to me, and you said this is all fan bases. I get that. But the Alabama fan base is special.
Mm-hmm.
Really damn special.
Okay.
The same sons of bitches who spent 5 years talking about what a crook Hugh Freeze was. What a cheater. Oh, my God. Just throwing money at the gif of, is it Spanky? The little rascals just throwing money out of the... Now you want to hire him.
Cleaned up.
Oh.
Cleaned up everything.
He won't do it here. And don't get me wrong. I've said many times Hugh Freeze wasn't throwing bags of cash at recruits. If he were, he would have recruited better at the end. But you hypocritical redneck sons of bitches. You are the single most special, full of you-know-what fan base on God's planet. And that's saying something because most fan bases are utterly full of crap and cheer for the laundry. But you people are special.
In saying that, your gut say yes or no?
No.
Still
no. My gut says no. My gut says Greg Sankey is smart enough, and I everything I've ever encountered with him, he's a very intelligent person. He knows he can't let this happen.
This year.
Next year, it's a different deal.
Yeah. I think I agree, but I'm beginning to wonder a little bit, I'll be honest. He didn't take Panunzio off the field unless he had a pretty dang good idea on who he was bringing on to the field.
I tend to agree, although what I heard from Alabama people over the course of late last season is that, and this is so funny because they just won the national freaking championship, is that the recruiting landscape was changing in the league in a way that he knew he had to get younger and more dynamic in recruiting because his age is beginning to be used against him by younger coaches who know how to recruit.
The other bit of former Ole Miss employee news, staying in the state of Alabama, it appears that at this point Allen Green is going to be Auburn's new athletics director. He was previously at Buffalo where he replaced Danny White, another former Ole Miss employee who's now is the UCF athletics director, been in the news a good bit the last month or so with that football program. So Green was under Danny White at Ole Miss, I think 2009 to 2012. He was part of the staff that launched the Forward Together campaign, the $150 million project there on campus that has since been completed. So it looks like Auburn is going to Buffalo to get their athletics director, and he's got some former Ole Miss ties. From what I recall, pretty nice guy. He was certainly on a high trajectory. It's a hell of a job, though, to go into. Good luck to him in that place.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I don't remember him.
Do you not? Yeah, he worked. He was the number two or three under Danny for those couple years, three years or so.
I just don't remember him.
Yeah.
I've spent part of yesterday going.
Well, it took me a minute. Like, I had some buddies go, yeah, he was a really nice guy. And I went, who is he again? Then I went, oh, yeah, I talked to him. Okay. I kind of got it. So, anyway.
I literally can't place him at all. But good for him. As someone who covered that place. Boy. Enjoy the money, Alan. Enjoy the money.
If there's a bonus, get it.
If you can get it, get it. And do yourself a favor. Take 5 to 10% of your salary and put it into some sort of a savings account because that will pay for the therapy that you'll need when this is all over.
We will do approximately 7,000 of these prior to the draft, but I'm seeing on ESPN today a mock draft come out this morning. It's football, whatever. The Cleveland Browns taking Josh Allen with the number one pick.
You're kidding.
The Wyoming quarterback.
Boy.
The New York Giants taking Josh Rosen as the quarterback at number two.
Yeah, I can see that.
I want to see that. I'm getting sort of excited about Rosen in New York for some reason.
Well, it's just because of Jeffrey.
Well, it's that. I mean, the kid kind of gets a bad rap. He plays hard. He's an incredible quote, a very smart quote. He played on a crap team. Wasn't his fault.
But is he going to go all Sanchez in New York?
Well, now that I don't know. He might be giving out gift baskets here in a year or so. I don't know, but
it's the part of the Eli Manning experience that New Yorkers probably don't completely appreciate. Eli Manning's a nice-looking guy, big name, first pick in the draft.
Could have done all right.
He basically just took his girlfriend up there.
Yeah, I don't know, basically.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't even have like a year where he said, hey, I'm going to kind of sow my oats for a little while, and then I'll bring her up.
Yeah, Giants quarterback could have been a franchise disaster in New York.
Most people in Eli Manning's shoes say, you know what, I'm going to have 2 years here where I sort of see what's up, and then I'll bring her back. She'll come back.
Think so?
No doubt.
I feel like there was a time period there that could be some.
I think that could have been massaged.
Okay. Interesting. Cleveland gets two top four picks, getting one from Houston as well. Saquon Barkley, Penn State, at number four.
Ooh, a running back that high. He's very, very good.
If you think he's Todd Gurley, yes. Anything less, no. That's it. That's the question.
He's the first back I've seen in a while that is Gurley-ish. He's good now and can catch it out of the backfield. And you see the impact that Alvin Kamara had with the Saints, and you go, well.
Yeah.
Back to Allen, though. How big of a gamble is that? Now, I know, look. He's got a big-time arm. I mean, his arm's a weapon.
He should send Carson Wentz thank you notes every day.
He really should.
If Wentz had not worked, Allen is not the number one pick in the draft.
He really should. He should put him – he owes it to him to name his first son Carson and his second son Wentz.
Yeah. Sam Darnold, number five to the Denver Broncos. Not good news for Chad Kelly.
No, that would be bad news for Chad. That would tell you that they didn't believe in Chad either. I can't roll the dice. If I'm Denver and all of the issues on my roster, I'm rolling the dice on Sam Darnold.
Minka Fitzpatrick to the Jets. I'm just looking for SEC names. Well, Calvin Ridley to the Bears.
They'll both be really good pro players. I saw where Mike Dettillier says Marquise Haynes is a likely third-round pick.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. As a linebacker.
Number 10, who I know is a linebacker, Roquan Smith to the Raiders at number 10. I'd take him all day.
All day long.
Baker Mayfield, number 13, Jeffrey, to the Washington Redskins.
I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have Mayfield than Darnold.
This all depends on Kirk Cousins. Does Washington re-sign him, obviously? I mean, they don't know what's going on with Cousins as part of this pick, but.
They've strung him along long enough that if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm about to a point where I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go see what's up.
Well, they can't just franchise him.
Yeah.
That's the problem there. I mean, Saints did that to Breeze 1 year. So, I don't know.
Breeze stays in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For legacy reasons, if nothing else, at this point. And he's got a good team around him. I mean, hell, where are you going? A
great team around him.
I mean, you know, really hard division, but your team's good.
Where are the Saints in that draft?
I ain't got there yet.
Okay.
Alabama, Deron Payne, number 17. Guy Ole Miss knows a little bit. Derwin James, the safety at Florida State, 18 to the Seahawks. Seahawks trying to retool that secondary a little bit. Cowboys taking a defensive tackle from Washington. Rams taking Carlton Davis, the corner from Auburn in the first round. Christian Kirk, wide receiver, Texas A&M, the Atlanta Falcons at 26.
Ooh.
Oh, Dylan's boy. Saints, number 27, taking wide receiver at SMU, Cortland Sutton.
Wide receiver would make some sense for them. Another weapon. Give Breeze as many weapons as you can.
It says Drew Breeze is 39, and the Saints just made a playoff run with one of the most productive rookie classes in recent history. It's a team built to win right now. Sutton's a huge 6'4" matchup nightmare who could play opposite budding superstar Michael Thomas. He was inconsistent at times for the Mustangs, but he's a big play threat who averaged at least 16 yards per catch. And New Orleans could have receiver turnover with Brandon Coleman and Willie Snead, both restricted free agents. Please, God, go Brandon Coleman. Go. I'm tired of looking at him. I was nervous, but I was also the happiest I'd been all day Saturday when Coleman was inactive. I'm sorry, for Sunday for that game. He's the guy that fumbled the twice in a row couple weeks ago when they're playing whomever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Fumbled twice on like three plays. It's good. Yeah. And even after that, he still carried the ball out here like the loaf of bread thing. Rashawn Evans, inside linebacker, Alabama to the Steelers, I'm seeing in this draft. That is it from an SEC standpoint. So
that's it.
Yeah, that's just it. Just half the draft.
Half the draft. Oh, shoot.
Anyway. All right. What time is the game Saturday? Ole Miss, Arkansas?
That's a good question. I think it's at 3, but don't hold me to that. I'm going to find it right now. We have a media op tomorrow at noon, I assume, before they travel. So basketball schedule, according to OleMissSports.com, the game is at 2:30 p.m. I was close.
Okay.
I thought it was at 3, but it's at 2:30.
All right. More to you on tomorrow's show, and then coverage of basketball, recruiting still going strong. That's at RebelGrove.com and more. So check it out, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.